Hello and welcome to On The Box, your weekly radio show all about TV.
Hooray! Success! We actually managed it. You didn't hear the other two trying their very best at the introduction. So close.
Well, I mean, we are technically a TV show, just we're a show about TV.
Yeah. Hmm. We're just not on TV, and we're not a TV show.
Yeah, but apart from those two things.
Yeah, they're kind of important, aren't they?
Yes, we'll be ridiculed for that for the rest of the show.
No, you won't be ridiculed for that for the rest of the show. Something else, yes. Just not that.
Many, all right. Probably many, many other things.
Yes. I know what we'll be ridiculed for.
That hairdo.
Wrongly. What hair?
My point, exactly.
Thankfully, you don't see it.
So, how's that relationship with the Cornetto going?
Just one Cornetto.
Give it to Andy.
Just one.
Yeah, just one. You can't have a harem of Cornettos.
Do you want two?
They'll melt. A pack of six, don't you?
Okay, touche, good sir. I believe we have news.
Do we have news?
Yes,
we might have news.
Yeah, the first news we've got is if anybody remembers the film in 1999 called Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course.
Wasn't it
Tim Allen.
Tim Allen, that's
yes.
It. I preferred my name Tim Tom.
Yeah, basically they're making they're writing a TV series that's based on the film, which I don't think was based around like a fictional TV series where they had to save an alien race, and it doesn't say how they're going to go about it, but my concern of it was, are we looking into basically a comedic turn of it? Yeah, a comedic look, or are we going to get basically a second Star Trek? Because
I don't think that it'd be wise for them to go down the Star Trek route. I think what they should do, just on the basis of the details that you've just told me, I think what they should do. You remember how the TV show, the movie ended? They basically return to Earth at their convention dedicated to their thing. And then the new TV series was launched. And, you know, the aliens flew off in their spaceship.
Mm.
But I think an interesting idea, an interesting angle would be, they're not the only aliens out there, right? What if other aliens had basically built the ship and came, and basically, it was like they just kept coming to Earth.
They keep getting mistaken for like the heroes of Earth.
Yeah, they keep getting mistaken and dragged off into different, into different battles on exactly the same ship, because the aliens have built the same ship for, you know, using the designs from the old TV show. They're like, no, we got a new show now, we got new technology. And like, oh, no, but it's not superior to this. This is classic. But yeah, they just keep getting kidnapped from Earth each week. And forced to fight these alien menaces, just because. I think that'd be an interesting way of doing it. It'd be different enough from Star Trek, because instead of them going out and exploring the universe and meeting new life is coming to them and kidnapping them.
Yes, but the thing as well, they'll have to do something along the comedy lines, because the film was basically a rip-off of Star Trek, wasn't it? It was like a...
No, it wasn't a rip-off. It was a parody of Star Trek. I mean, it was basically it was basically meant to take the whole idea of Star Trek and say, well, look, this is actually quite a ridiculous idea. Why do people love it so much? We don't understand. I mean, the whole thing with, you know, when they press the try to cancel the self-destruct,
and it can't, because it will only stop like 1 second.
At 1 second. They've actually stopped it, but they don't know they have, because in the TV show, it always stops at 1 second. The whole thing where they've got like, you know, the flattening bits, those presses, for no reason whatsoever. They don't actually serve any purpose. You know, they don't add to the ship in any way. It's just they were on the TV show. Like,
don't forget as well, they already know now what the Omega 13 does.
Yeah.
So there's no mystery there either.
Well, this is the thing. They know what the Omega 13 does, and it probably will. But again, going back to my thought, since they didn't know what the Omega 13 did, what if, in my scenario, the Omega-13 would actually have a different effect each time? it would do something differently.
Just because, based off what every race thinks it should do.
Yeah, basically, based off what every other, what every alien race thought Omega 13 was capable of. And basically, it's capable of all of it, but they only have it doing that one thing. So in the case of the original aliens, it was going back going back in time by 13 seconds. In or whatever, it was 13
something
seconds.
Something like that, yeah.
But what if for another alien race, it was basically giving, you know, like some kind of power source, or it it was like a 13 you know, petawatt laser or something like that. Or you know, just like created 13 black holes, or gave birth to 13 suns, you know, something ridiculous.
That'll
like
be an episode I'd want to watch.
That's what I'm saying. You know, something absolutely ridiculous. You know, just kind of just let your imagination go wild. And different alien races have this different idea. And at the end, you know, you could do basically the first episode, and if you do it as a continuation, like, oh yeah, I know what Omega 13 does, and he presses the button, and it does something completely different. Do you see what I mean? It's like, hang on, it's not supposed to do that. It's supposed to take me back in time 13 seconds, so I can save everything. What's going on?
It's just like a puppy falls out.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be a very awkward scenario if you're trying to reverse time.
But that would be hilarious as well. It would be hilarious. It's like, you know, the improbability drive from Hitchhikers.
Yes.
Where they, you know, is like a vase of flowers, a couch, hyperspace. So yeah, I think that my idea, I think, is superior to whatever ideas they've got. Use my idea; it's my idea, so you're gonna have to pay me for it.
Yep, this is the same people.
My idea, mine.
I mean, these are the same people.
Copyrighted
that are creating,
2015.
Yes,
like Paramount, they're creating series for School of Rock, Shooter, and well, Shutter Island as well.
What? Shutter Island.
Minority Report, yeah.
Okay, Minority Report, I can understand the TV series of Minority Report. You guys have seen it, haven't you? The
movie. Yeah, yeah.
It works as a police procedural.
Mm.
Yeah, you can see it working.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd put Tom Cruise in the lead role. He's got too many teeth, that man.
Kevin Bacon, maybe. He's moved to TV now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has.
Oh, that'd be good.
But I don't know, because, you know, after all those adverts, I just can't take him seriously anymore.
So you think he's going to go with this signal?
Can you imagine? He's using like the screen is like, you know, you get better bandwidth
on 4G.
You know, on 4G.
And there's somebody just stood there with a buffer face on.
No. Just a scene with him randomly dragging a shed behind him.
No, I was just like, he's just trying to phone someone before they get killed. Like, oh, God, this phone won't work. Yeah, well, if you want EE, you'd be getting through to them, wouldn't you?
You could have planned this murder a lot more better if you had the shed full of data that EE offers.
No. They're playing that video of what could possibly happen.
Yeah.
You know, the precog video. And it just stops to buffer. it's like, no, we have 20 seconds to solve this case. No, not now.
Just kept there with buffer face.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I think we all know what buffer face is, but I think Owen should demonstrate on the radio, a physical demonstration on the radio. Owen, buffer face.
No.
Go.
No, I am not. I'm not gonna sink so low.
Oh God! It's terrifying.
Yes.
Oh, this is what I have to put up with.
Yeah.
Can we move on?
Yes.
Move on.
Some of the other shows. There was Shutter Island. What else?
School of Rock.
School of Rock might be an interesting one.
That could definitely work, I think.
I think with School of Rock, if you aim it at like a teenage audience, it would work better.
I think, according to this, it's going to be on Nickelodeon, so it'll definitely be
audience. No, actually, that's fine. Younger audience or an early teenage audience, I think that works.
It does say, though, when it gets to Shutter Island, it says with Martin Scorsese for HBO.
Okay.
So, unless it's like other people in the mental institution. Because Shutter Island is kind of just like a one and done thing.
Mm.
Yeah, true.
There's not really much scope to spin it out into a series. Mm.
This is true.
We're assuming that a lot now, though, aren't we?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that a lot of. I mean, they look at. There's this. The dividing line between movies and TV is disappearing. it's very, very blurred at the moment, especially with, when you take into account some of the stuff that's on TV right now, which you're talking like movie-level production. Game of Thrones is movie-level production.
Yeah, basically is a movie, isn't it?
Yeah, a very long and sometimes tedious movie. Not.
Anyway, should we move on to our next news story?
Yes.
Do you want to introduce this one, Andrew?
Yes, I shall. Jeremy Clarkson has said that he definitely wants to come back to TV and do another car show.
Is this going to be on Satan Channel or something like that?
Probably so.
Clarkson wants to do another car show. Please, Clarkson, no.
God.
Please, just retire now. You punched a producer. Go away. And he's a buffoon. He's a complete tool.
But they have said BBC are showing the extra footage that they haven't shown for Top Gear in the summer.
Yeah, I know. They're showing that to placate all the Clarkson, James May, Richard Hamster fans, or Gerbil. I've just realised they all actually do look like rodents because Hammond is a hamster and James May is a gerbil. And, you know, Jeremy Clarkson does look like a rodent. He's got very rodent-like features.
I thought you called him a buffoon. It's not exactly very rodent, is it?
No, you can have buffoon rodents. I didn't say baboon, I said buffoon.
I said buffoon as well.
Buffoon means idiot.
Yes.
He could be an idiot rodent.
Good point.
But I mean,
he looks more kind of like orangutan-ish.
No, because his arms aren't long enough and he's not orange, unless he's been out in the sun too long.
No, but it's more just kind of, you know, like the slack-jawed expression, the long lumbering paces.
No, because the orangutans are actually surprisingly clever. If I was going to compare him to an orangutan, it'd have to be dead.
But, I mean, he has said, though, that he feels lost and bored.
He feels lost and bored. Then you shouldn't have punched a producer over food.
The way it's written.
The food was cold, so bloody, if you're hungry, bloody well eat it. Hunger is the best sauce.
Admitting that he has felt bored and lost after being dropped by the BBC after punching a colleague in the face.
He has a fairly decent car collection as well. He could just go out for a few drives.
No, he could. If he's bored, take up a hobby. You know, why not take up Magic the Gathering? You could sell one car and just basically buy the best cards in the world. Yeah. It's a lot more fun.
He is comparing, though, as Top Gear, as he's lost his baby and now wants to create another. So that brings a whole new emphasis.
And is he trying to actually have children?
He already has children.
Oh, God.
And the day he attacked the colleague has been the most stressful day he's ever had.
The most stressful day he's ever had. Like, that's an excuse for sending somebody to the hospital.
What do you think is going to happen with a new car series? Do you think it's going to have the same... Do you think the audience is going to shift to that? Or do you think that they're going to stay with Top Gear?
I think that the audience is fickle. I think that the longer Clarkson is out of the limelight, the more the audience forgets about him. Top Gear, if they bring it back with a new presenter, and if they can keep a very similar format to Top Gear, you know, and make it fun, I think that it won't matter whether Clarkson's there or not. I think the only reason they kept Clarkson on is because they were contractually obligated to, but there are much better presenters. And I mean, hell, have you seen the Classic Car Show on Channel 5 or Channel 4?
Oh, yeah, I think I've seen that, yeah.
Jodie Kidd is a much better presenter than Jeremy Clarkson, and she's better looking too. I'm sorry, but if I wanted to watch a car show, because I've been watching the Classic Car Show, and Jodie Kidd is superb as a presenter, and she's a better driver than Clarkson.
Yeah, but I think for a while, Top Gear hasn't really been about presenting so much. It's
kind of a sitcom, but it's basically three middle-aged men who basically are going through a midlife crisis and living vicariously through TV.
I think, because that's a lot of the audience is kind of like that.
Middle-aged men?
Yeah, in the midlife crisis. You know, so I think that's why a lot of people kind of...
A lot of the audience is basically early 20s petrol heads who are into modifying, you know, hatchbacks and trying to make them, you know, trying to make them into hot hatches by adding a big exhaust and, you know, a spoiler which looks more like a tanning bed.
You can't do that unless you do something with the engine as well. You need to upgrade the engine to justify those modifications.
Some of them do modify the engine and stuff like that, but I'm not going to get into the whole mechanics of it. See what I did there, but
there we go.
But yeah, that was a lame joke.
Like
but you like that? Shame on you! Shame on you and your Cornetto.
No, it's six Cornettos, don't you mean?
Oh yeah, six Cornettos. The Magnum is jealous. like, anyway,
do the other five Cornettos like know about each other?
Are they all different flavors? that line has like a triple meaning. I'm actually quite happy about that line.
Yeah, that's the joke you can be proud
yes.
of.
Yes.
Okay, Andy, you were saying Cornettos.
I forgot what I was saying now.
Yeah.
This is a show about ice cream, right?
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to the Cornetto Show.
Oh, Cornetto all the time.
Yes. There are cheaper brands, but, you know, we don't go
there's
for
just, yeah.
We don't know where they've been.
Jeremy Clarkson.
Jeremy Clarkson. Back to Clarkson. Yeah. Where was I? Cornettos, that was it. No, Clarkson.
You're about the mechanics of the show.
Jeremy Cornetto. We I think someone else needs to talk now.
Okay,
how can you go from there?
I think I'm the I think I'm the closest person here to a fan to Jeremy Clarkson.
I just managed to upset myself with that Jeremy Cornetto thing and put a really horrible mental image in my head.
See, now that's
Andy licking Jeremy Clarkson.
That's your own fault. That is your own fault.
You're gonna have to break up with the Cornetto now.
No.
I think I've just given Andy a headache. How's the brain freeze?
It's a lot heavier now.
Oh.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. Anyway, you were saying Clarkson fan.
Yeah, I think I'm the closest person here to an actual Clarkson fan. Although I was a bit upset when he left, when he was forced to leave. I understood why they did it. I used to like his presenting style when I was younger. But as I kind of got older, I did kind of see it was a bit kind of ridiculous. Like, I remember one car review, just talking about the entrance, like, it's like the God of Thunder, gargling with nails, which just sounds ridiculous. But I think as time went on, he got a bit older and slightly wiser, his presenting style did kind of change, and it was more kind of serious, but it was still a bit of buffoonery in it.
He was not serious. I mean... The thing about Top Gear that I like Top Gear up to a point, but the thing that kind of annoyed me was that it was always about supercars. And you're like, okay, exactly what kind of message are you trying to deliver to me here? Are you trying to tell me that when they say that a car that costs £100,000 is cheap,
yeah.
I'm like, are you mad? Do you have mad papers? Because I'd like to see them.
Okay,
what institute are you in? I'll bring you some fruit.
Yeah, I think that they should have just accepted it instead of like, here are a bunch of cars that are really nice and you will never, ever afford any of them.
Yes, I mean, where's the cars that fall into our price range?
I'd love to see like one of their challenges where you get, like, because it's always something like £1,000, isn't it? Or £2,000, go and...
Yeah,
maybe £5,000. Go and get yourself a car.
No. They have done some really cheap ones. They have done some really cheap ones. They had one where it was under £1,000.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously some of them went £999.
They even had one where it was actually under £100.
Yeah,
well, that was a really good one.
He's 50 quid. Take it and do what you want with it.
I think Richard got a car for £80, and then just Jeremy Clarkson there, just typical Clarkson. He bought a car for a quid. But I mean, I know I can see what you mean when they talk about the kind of cars Top Gear do. I mean, even Jeremy Clarkson, the one thing he did annoy me with was that when he did do a review about an important BMW, I think it was a hybrid.
Yeah,
it was one of the most important cars, and he actually said in the show in the movie that they did for it that he preferred that car to like an M3. But then when they were back in the studio, he went, "Ah, no, I've changed my mind." I'm like, what? You just become a good advocate for this brilliant car, a car we've been waiting for a long time since the early concept, and you just said, nah, I lied.
But, I mean, you got... I mean, it did start off, I mean, it was the 70s, wasn't it, Top Gear? It was a review show. It was 80s. It was a serious review show.
It was... The thing is, it needed someone like Clarkson to change the nature of the show, to bring that kind of fun element to it.
Yeah. Mm.
But I think by ditching the whole... ditching the serious nature of it completely...
Especially, it's gone too far in the other direction.
Yeah, it's gone too far in the other direction, which is where you end up... Which is how we've ended up in this situation where Clarkson thinks he's you know, a diva of some sort, and, you know, is worthy of being worshipped, and that producers everywhere should bring him hot food the way he wants it, you know, piping hot or at just the right temperature, because if it's too hot, it, you know, you might not get punched, you might get castrated instead. So, yeah.
It was less about the cars you can buy, but more about the cars you wanted to buy.
Mm. Well, the cars that you couldn't buy, the cars you could only dream about.
Yes.
You have to think as well. I mean,
who is going to be able to... How many people do you know, right, or will you meet in your entire lifetime who could afford a Bugatti Veyron Supersport?
No, you got a point there.
Are you just saying you guys don't all have one?
No. I used to, but I traded in for a Vectra.
No, a Vectra. No, you lie. It's actually a Nova, isn't it? I saw it. You lie. I saw his Facebook photo with the Vectra is basically someone else's Vectra. He basically just stood there posing next to it, so he'd persuade people that he actually had a Vectra when it's actually a Vauxhall Nova.
The dreams of a Vectra.
Yes.
Or as Jeremy Clarkson calls it, the dullest car in the world.
Yeah,
like he's in a room with us, isn't he?
Yes.
Quick, everyone, put your face guards on.
Yes. Anyway, what's next on the news?
Moving on from Jeremy Clarkson in a completely different direction.
Is it time for Cornettos? Sorry, you were saying.
I'll get my own back someday.
Yes. Yes, you will.
Someday, not Sunday.
Yes, I know.
I'm not.
Yeah, I want nothing about ice cream.
Recently, Netflix has grown its subscribers up 4.9 million in the first 4 months of 2015, and averages at 59.6 million subscribers now. But there's an article here, it's explaining that maybe over like the next 10 years or so, you could see internet TV gradually take over digital TV?
It already is. I mean, internet TV is already taken over. When you think about it, more people watch TV. I mean, the TV license, for example, right? Why are we still paying the TV license in an age where hardly anyone watches the BBC on the TV?
I think it means, though, more along the lines of, it mentions linear TV and internet TV. For example, like your...
Linear TV is just basically TV that you sit down and watch with your remote control, stuff like that.
I know you've got your TiVo and things that record now and you...
I don't have a TiVo. I don't need one. Who in their right mind still has a TiVo? You
have
the internet.
I have TiVo.
You have the internet.
The only thing is, what I don't like is it records stuff. I don't ask it to record.
Terrible quality, though.
No, these days the quality on the internet is actually really good.
Yeah, it would be like every... giant, like, 50-inch plasma screen TV, so I want to watch stuff on that.
Are you just bragging that you have 50 inches?
Hi, everyone. I'm incredibly rich.
He's now bragging about the size of his TV.
Just saying, a TV that size brings a lot of Cornettos to the house.
Yes, I imagine it does.
Well, I do apologize. I only have to make do with a 42-inch. I only have to make do with a 42-inch.
Yeah, you're not going to get as many Cornettos as him. You might get a couple of Magnums, though.
Magnum's better than Cornetto, I have, you know.
I have no idea where this is going anymore.
Anyway.
I actually had a point to make.
Internet TV.
Well.
Yes, internet TV.
Actually, I do have I actually have a genuine point to make. Like, when you talk about the BBC and the TV license,
yeah.
What would you rather it was replaced by? Would you prefer like a subscription for iPlayer or something?
I think they were on about when they were on about getting rid of your TV license. They were looking at the possibility.
Yeah.
They, I think it was last year. It was like a subscription fee where you'd go, I'd want to subscribe to the BBC.
Sky
channels and things.
Subscription service is an interesting choice, but I don't think it'd work. I don't think it'd fly in this day and age. The BBC needs to bite the bullet and say, okay, right, the only way that we can actually fund these things now is by advertising. You know, they need to bite the bullet. They need to get it into their heads that if they want the money to keep doing quality programming, they need to basically open the door to advertising. It's the one thing they've resisted since their inception, but times have changed. Mm. And they don't need to do the advertising in the show. You know, if they are moving stuff online, they can do it via their website. People will pay through the nose to advertise. And do you know how much people would pay to advertise on the BBC's website? How much they could charge? Can you imagine if we wanted to advertise on the BBC's website? Yeah. How much money would we be charged just to advertise, you know, a little banner, you know, on one of the pages on the BBC website?
Yeah,
I think it's an amount approximating all of it, all of the money.
Yes, it's all of the money. I mean, the only bigger advertising platforms that you can name would be things like Facebook and Google itself and stuff like that. In terms of news channels, BBC is this huge pot of gold.
Yeah, it's a giant opportunity they're missing.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need the licensing fees. There are companies who would pay through the nose, you know, they would pay through the nose to advertise on just on the BBC's website. So I don't see the point in these in the licensing fees. They need to wise up. They don't need to change how they do their programming. They don't even need to add adverts into their programming, but they could if they just did it in a certain way.
Well,
you know,
I mean, you advertise their own things now.
You know, I mean, product placement is a thing. You know, we know it's a thing, and they can be subtle about it. You know, in Holby City, for example, someone sitting there just using an Apple Mac, that's a normal thing. You don't draw attention to it. It just happens that they use a Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to sit there talk about how amazing their Apple Mac is.
Exactly. That's how product placement works, you know.
I mean,
EastEnders, they walk into the Queen Vic and they say, "Just a Coke, please." And it just basically, the camera pans around and you see them pouring Coke, and it says on the front, "Coke." That's it. It's something you'd see in any pub.
It adds realism to it, isn't it? Yeah, rather than make something up.
Yeah. I see you got a new car. Yeah, it's a new Vauxhall Astra 1.5 diesel. Yeah, it's got pretty good fuel economy as well.
No, you don't need to do that. You just pan the camera around. Yeah. You basically show the back of the car. That's it.
Yeah.
Simple. Job done.
I mean, things, and I'm sorry to kind of go back to this, back to Jeremy Clarkson, but what he did with Top Gear was actually something really good, because he actually set up his own company to kind of advertise and release merchandise, and actually brought in enough money for Top Gear to essentially to at least pay his salary. If they had more shows, they could do something like that. They could bring themselves more money.
Merchandising is a thing, yes.
Yeah, well, but they kind of did it to a different level. I mean,
well, no, because I mean, nobody wants to buy like EastEnders plushies. That would just be strange.
That's true. But
No. There is one plushie that I think EastEnders could sell.
Do we really want to know?
No, you remember the little pug that Dot's friend used to have called Willie?
Oh, yeah.
Would sell. That would sell.
No, I thought of what the name would be, and I'm not even going to do that. I'm not, no.
Yeah, the Willie plushie.
Yes. yes.
Just all kinds of wrong right there.
So it's many.
Like it'd sell.
Yeah,
so many.
It'd sell. Your Cornettos would sell.
The thing is, because they also sold it into different countries as well, so if they had... And I'm sure there's some programs that could sell around the world. Maybe not.
Well, I mean, who around the world doesn't love a Willy?
No. Anyway, have we got more news?
We're talking about the dog, right?
Yes. I hope so.
Anyway, more news? Is there more news? Do we have more news?
No, that is all the news.
That is all the news. Thank God.
Okay, right, moving on. We're going to talk about the Cornettos we've eaten this week. No, sorry. by the way, I feel that at this point we should take five to explain what's with all the ice cream references. Before the show, Andy said he fancied a Cornetto, and we took that to mean he wanted to have a relationship with an ice cream cone.
No.
That's where all the jokes have come from.
No. Rob, you took it that way. Yes, we just kind of followed along.
Yeah. You laughed. You joined in.
We laughed. We cried. We joined in.
So yes,
and then the mention of six pack Cornettos came in, and Rob just lost it.
Yeah, exactly.
In our defense, It's Andy who mentioned the six-pack Cornettos.
we had to cut it short, though, because it did end up with me discussing myself with a mental image of Andy licking Jeremy Clarkson, who had a flake in him.
Why did you need to even... I'd actually put that image out of my head, and now... The image is fighting its way back in. Can we please talk about something TV related?
He made it worse. He said it was getting a bit hairy.
Can we talk about...
Can we take a break for 2 minutes before we go to what we've been watching?
Yes, I feel we should. Right, okay, we'll be back in a minute. No, 2 minutes.
Hello, this is Ryan from the Geek Show Podcast Network. Do you like trees? What about paper? What about words? Yes, words are good. Then you will like Literally Loitering, only available on the Geek Show Podcast Network.
Welcome back to On The Box. After a very, very messed up first half, I think.
It wasn't messed up, it was perfectly fine. There wasn't anything wrong with it.
Just had a lovely discussion about ice cream.
Yes, nothing wrong with ice cream.
Why did you say it in that way, though? That just sounded so weird.
With the eyes as well. Nothing wrong with ice cream.
The raised eyebrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, what we've been watching is next.
And, what? Is there something on my face? Do I have some ice cream? No, let's stop. We'll never finish it. We'll never finish the show if we're stuck on this. It's like we're in a perpetual loop.
We'll start off with Andrew.
Yes.
What have you been watching this week?
I have been watching Safe House, which was a new drama on ITV that started this week.
Is it any good? Because I've been hearing mixed reviews of it.
Basically, it's very well made.
Okay.
Like, just all the things that they come together well and they work. It's just, there's no real emotion behind it. Like, you have no reason to care for any of the characters.
So in terms of production, it's good. It's just in terms of the actual people, you just kind of, I don't care.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, except for the main character, because it's Christopher Eccleston.
Okay, yeah. Christopher Eccleston we like. The most underrated Doctor, I think.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked him as the Doctor. I thought him being full of fire and brimstone actually really worked.
He really did bring me into Doctor Who, but I think it was David Tennant that kept me grounded in it. But I know what you mean. He was a great Doctor. Anyway,
Safe House.
Yeah.
Tell us more. What is Safe House about?
So basically, Christopher Eccleston, he is a police officer, but like he's retired because, of course, something went wrong. Woman he was protecting got killed, blah, blah. Like, traumatized cop origin story number 83. And so him and his wife turn the guest house that they're living in into a safe house so that kind of people who've been involved in a crime and need to go into witness protection, they can come stay there. And so basically this family, they get attacked by some crazy guy and like he disappears and maybe still coming after them, so obviously they all have to go and move in.
David Tennant also did like a traumatized police officer for Broadchurch as well.
Yeah,
so
basically maybe that's like the standard Doctor Who retirement
package. Seems the norm for, I'd say, plots of that nature, though, doesn't it? It's like,
yeah.
But obviously, it's a weekly series. Do you reckon it keeps you sort of interested in the show throughout the episode, like really grounded in?
I don't know, not really. It's kind of, I think the main great thing is pretty much just all the scenery shots, because like the guest house is like in the Lake Districts or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
That you spend a lot of time going, ooh, that's a really pretty hill. Oh, that's right, the plot is happening as well.
So it's a bit like Serious Cop Show meets Country File.
Almost, except the Country File bit is kind of like unintended.
Well then,
there's something you'd recommend to...
It sounds a lot... with the country bit, it sounds a bit like Heartbeat.
So it is basically like really serious Heartbeat.
It is. That's what it sounds like.
No, that's a dark Heartbeat.
No, no.
That's okay.
That's like Heartbeat's emo cousin.
Oh, that's a tagline for a show. I think that should be the tagline for the show. Heartbeat's emo cousin.
That'd be a great Heartbeat spin-off. What'd the name be though?
Oh, yeah, just Dark Heartbeat.
Oh, fair enough.
No, no, the name's Safe House. We know what it is. You know, okay. Safe House. You know, on the poster, Safe House, Heartbeats, Dark Heartbeats, Emo Cousin.
That tells itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. Does. You know.
I would watch that.
There you go.
Actually, I wouldn't.
Marketing for that show, done.
You're welcome, ITV. Oxford Mobility's in the post.
Exactly.
It's what we're here for.
Yeah, is Nick Berry in it? Is he going to be in it?
Have you got anything else to say about Safe House?
Like, oh, I think we've pretty much summed it up well now.
Do you want to know whether you would recommend it?
So we've got Safe House, Emo Heartbeat, recommended watch.
Yeah, I think I would recommend it. It's definitely worth a watch, just probably not something you're going to come back to in years to come and go, oh yeah, so, that was great.
So it's worth watching one episode to see exactly what you're not missing?
No, it still seems like a pretty solid series.
Okay. Hmm.
So you'd watch through it once and never watch it again?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, right, I got it, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to Andy.
This is one me and Owen have been watching, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes,
it is. Before we get on to, you know, more quality TV, it's time for more ridicule.
Yes.
Anyway, you've been watching...
Virtually Famous.
The question is why.
The question is, you don't even know anything about it. So
yes,
back,
I do. Yeah, it's not my favourite TV show.
It's back for a second series.
If you were talking about The Last Leg, I'd have no problems because I actually quite enjoyed The Last Leg.
The Last Leg is really good.
They're talking about Virtually Famous.
Yeah, yes. I know. It's like the ginger stepchild of TV.
We're building like an entire TV family here.
Yeah, we are building a TV family. I mean, it's not like that awful Keith Lemon panel show. Yeah,
what,
that,
through the... No, oh, it's not through
no,
the...
No, no,
that's... Don't make Celebrity Juice.
Celebrity Juice is the Quasimodo of panel shows. You know, that deserves to be locked in the tower.
I see I'm no longer welcome here, so I'm just... Right. I'll just head off then.
Okay, bye.
yeah, well... the series, it's hosted by there's two teams. Chris Stark is in one team and Sean Walsh, another.
There's a joke with Chris Stark that nobody knows who he is.
I don't know who he is.
Well, there you go. It works really well.
He's the one of Virtually Famous.
Yes.
Sorry?
I just think he's the one of Virtually Famous.
He is essentially Virtually Famous.
So even you, who watches Virtually Famous, don't actually know.
Yeah, but...
he gets a lot of really cool in the show as well, so it's like the Andy of Virtually Famous. So I do apologise.
It's basically a panel show where it focuses on YouTube viral videos basically have the rounds where they have
to... So is it like RudeTube, but a panel show?
They don't
judge them more.
Because the guy who presents RudeTube just makes me want to punch him. Yeah, Alex Zane just makes me want to punch him.
And that was... He was brilliant on Balls of Steel.
Oh, no, I didn't like him on Balls of Steel. It was a good show. I didn't like him on Balls of Steel. I wanted to punch him.
You look like a puzzle.
What the hell is Balls of Steel?
Basically, these people that do things that are just so outrageous and ridiculous. Well, not so much ridiculous, but like the... Sean
kind
may
of
have
like jackass,
like the pain.
Kind
then.
Of like, yeah, but yeah. Not with the pain, but trying to kind of say, "Oh, I could do this, I could do that," and they get a trophy that essentially balls made of metal. Yeah,
it sounds like the.
It's like what Impractical Jokers finally became.
Yeah,
It just sounds awful.
How could it be awful when you got someone that's called Militant Black Guy? Or big gay following.
Are we talking about the...
Balls of Steel.
Balls of Steel.
Yeah.
Because that is exactly why it can be awful.
Yeah.
I'll show you what he's on about after the show.
I think I've got to agree with Andrew here. That is exactly why I would consider it awful.
Anyway,
when you start calling someone by a label, you are officially scraping the bottom of the barrel. You know, just basically, you know, have him play the character of a militant black guy. Don't call him Militant Black Guy.
I think the point of it is...
It's like watching, you know, Holby City and saying, Mr. Surgeon, I think this person needs an operation. Can you take him up to surgery, Mr. Surgeon? Yes, I will. Yes, I will, children's doctor A. You know, children's doctor B.
But the point of it, this character was he would find offence in everything. So like if he was at a coffee house getting some coffee, oh, I want a coffee, but I don't want any milk. Also, you want a black coffee and just take immediate. Well, he'd give the assumption that he took immediate offence to that. I just berate this barista. The berated barista just doesn't know what's happening.
Okay.
Ned, is it Ned John?
Ned's Urban Olympics. Sparks,
yeah, where he do like... what was his best one?
The KFC one with food chicken at people.
See, that would be better as a comedy sketch show rather than having people do ridiculous things. Just have it as a straight up comedy sketch show, you know, like you know, like the Fast Show or something like that.
Yeah,
if they did it like that and just got rid of this whole idea of people doing the craziest things and giving them a little trophy with you know, round metal balls. That part is totally unnecessary. If you just present it as a straightforward comedy sketch show, I think it'd work. Yeah. I think that's probably why I'm just kind of, it doesn't work for me.
He did one called Swear Bingo as well.
Yeah.
It was like, because he does things as a sport, and he knocks on people's doors, keeps knocking, and he has to, like, he's got like a bingo card, and he's got like loads of swear words on the bingo card, and he has to get them to say like a line or a full house, and he crosses them off every time he knocks on the door.
Anyway, we'll talk about Virtually Famous.
Yeah, Virtually Famous. It's the panel side of it. They've got like the games, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got some good games.
It's interesting because you get to see the people that do the videos come on. They have to try and guess
what video
the
they did
for on the show, Choice of Three.
Yeah.
So it's got that panel game show element to it.
It kind of shows more light on, because obviously I think TV is starting to get into the idea where these people on YouTube are actually getting more views and are possibly sometimes a bigger celebrities than the people they actually put on the TV. So they might as well do a TV show about that. I mean, people know more about these YouTube video people than they do Chris Stark.
Yeah, but I mean, they already had a show for that called RuTube.
True, but that was more about,
wasn't it?
Yeah, worst to best. Well, least number of views to most number of views, and then different kinds. But it kind of does it a bit differently, but I know what you mean. It is still Channel 4, so.
But I think I can kind of get your point in that it's basically saying, okay, these YouTube stars, they are celebrities, so let's just treat them like
they're celebrities. The thing is, they're not really celebrities. You know, it's that 15 minutes of fame, you know. They're famous for 15 minutes, and then that's basically it. If you are a celebrity, then, you know, teenagers want your poster on the wall. You know, you can sell merchandise with just your face on it. That's what being a celebrity means. I wouldn't call
PewDiePie. He's like one of the most famous people on the planet.
Thing is, PewDiePie is in a different league to the people that I'm assuming get on.
No,
this.
They get basically anybody, don't they?
Yeah, well,
they
do that's get, my point. Yeah, they get, PewDiePie has reached a level of fame where people know who he is, you know, without, even if they have never watched his stuff before, they are aware of his existence. That is celebrity. These people who they're bringing on to Virtually Famous, if you spoke to me about if you spoke to the average person on the street and said, this person was on, what's the probability of
some of them
being aware of
that
person's existence?
What was it?
Yeah, but how is that any different from, say, not knowing who this fairly obscure pop star is?
You mean Chris Stark?
Probably.
I don't think it's a pop star, but no. You were saying...
I forgot what I was saying. They had basically... I mean, that one where the baby, when he bites the finger.
Charlie. Charlie. Yeah, they had him on as well,
On, because obviously they're older now.
Yeah.
And so that was quite...
quite good.
Okay, that one's been around the houses for a while. That one I can understand.
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't think that I think that as children, you know, they did the rounds. But I mean, as you said, they're older now and they look different. You know, are they still celebrities? Then?
Oh, and the Numa Numa one as well.
Oh,
the one
who did the Numa
Numa
guy. Yeah.
Eyebrows.
Oh, the eyebrow. The eyebrow one. Yeah.
Numa Numa guy. You must know who Numa Numa guy is. It was
the fat guy who does the dancing.
He
does
the dancing to the...
That wasn't... I was trying to get him to say Numa Numa repeatedly.
Numa Numa.
It's just basically when he says it, the look on his face. It's like, you must know who that Numa Numa guy is.
But on the most recent episode, they actually had a YouTube star on the panel, which is actually who's quite well known in America for doing ridiculous things. Like, I think one popular video of his is when he did the cinnamon challenge.
Oh yeah,
and that's the thing. They also do kind of rounds in on, in the show based on things done on YouTube. So they had one like you got to shove marshmallows in your mouth, the milk gallon challenge to the Harlem Shake, and also the cinnamon challenge as well.
The cinema challenge?
Yeah. Cinnamon yeah. challenge, where you try...
Oh, yeah, I know the cinnamon challenge. I think that people who try it...
Yes, but... the particular kind of subgroup of the human race.
They deserve everything that happens to them.
Yes, yes. Basically. only a moron tries that. Sorry, all you people who tried it, but yeah. I stand by my words.
Should we go to what...
Yes. Well, we can't miss out Owen, or is Owen joining in the Virtually Famous...
I was going to
talk about something else, but I think if we're done about Virtually Famous...
Yeah, we're done about Virtually Famous. Owen, you're up.
Right, well, this week I've been, again, on Channel 4 watching a car show, which has actually got me... I really quite enjoy it. It's a programme called For the Love of Cars. Yes.
I was watching this. It's a really good show.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's you've got shows like that before.
It's the restoration show, isn't it?
Yeah.
They take an old car and they restore it and try and sell it.
Aye. But they do it so much better because it's not so much about the car itself, but what the car means.
Yeah.
And the most recent one they did was an Aston Martin
DB7.
DBS.
Was it a DBS?
No.
I'm sure it was a DB7.
It was a DBS.
Definitely a DBS.
Definitely DBS.
Okay, right. I thought it was a DB7. For some reason, I don't know. DB7. But then 7 starts with an S, so which is. It's probably senility creeping in early.
You're kind of forgiven that. But because they do talk about how these cars were a dream for both kids and adults.
The DBS was a magnificent car.
Oh, it really was. I mean, especially the Vantage, when they put the Vantage spec to it. Beautiful. It's a beautiful car. It is definitely.
We're just off in a world of our own now, guys. You guys talk amongst yourselves. We're talking about classic cars now.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Don't think classic cars and Cornettos.
No, okay, you've got the Cornettos.
Yeah,
it's fine.
You can cover the Cornettos. We'll
talk about the cars.
Wish I had a thing.
That's not a good thing to say on this show. You do realise that.
You've got your 50-inch thing, haven't you? Your 50-inch TV.
50 inches.
Oh. No, that's compensation.
But yeah.
Yes, thank you. Cars, I'm here all week.
Unfortunately. But yeah, For the Love of Cars, it's a really good show. I mean, there are shows that do this for like restore cars. You got Cara Sores on, I think it was Discovery Turbo, where they restore cars for other people. Then you've got Classic Car Rescue on Channel 5, which stars a guy called Bernie Fryman, which I think would be great with Jeremy Clarkson because they would just shout at each other berate each other.
I can see that.
Yes. But For the Love of Cars, you got, Phil Glenister?
Yeah.
Who did Ashes to Ashes, and he is fantastic.
The thing is, out of the ones that you mentioned, I think I actually prefer For the Love of Cars.
Yeah.
Channel 4 have this very weird thing. They do some great shows about restoration and design and architecture. I mean, I'm a big fan of Grand Designs.
Yeah.
I don't like the Australia version, but I think the UK one is magnificent. Mm. I think, I've forgotten his name, who presents Grand Designs. But he's really affable and charming, and he's not afraid to get his hands dirty, during the construction.
I want to say Kevin McLeod, but I think it is
McLeod, something McLeod. Is it Kevin McLeod? Yeah, Kevin McLeod.
Oh. Isn't that the guy from Highlander?
No, that's Connor McLeod. That's why I was getting confused. But yeah, Kevin McLeod. I think he's a lovely presenter. He's he's affable, he's charming, and he's always so urbane and polite. It's really nice to have presenters like him. And then you've got George Clark's Amazing Spaces. George Clark is a great presenter, and the stuff they're doing in that Amazing Spaces is just kind of, you basically fit how much into that tiny little shed that you have. This shed is like, all bells and whistles, home entertainment system, gaming system, everything like that. And it's a shed that's about 2 foot wide and 3 foot tall. Wow. You just gotta...
Oh, sounds brilliant.
It's the TARDIS. George Clark's Amazing Spaces is a really good one. Because he does Restoration Man as well, doesn't he? George Clark does Restoration Man as well.
Possibly. I don't think I've ever really seen Restoration Man.
But he goes around, you know, helping restore, like, old buildings and various things. Like, you know, these icons of the community that have fallen into disrepair because of neglect and the council not funding any repairs. So he goes around basically helping people, you know, fix these places and make them, you know, make them better, make them fit for purpose. I think that... You know, For the Love of Cars is in that really good trend of Channel 4 document, you know, real life documentary style shows where they show their passion for the restoration process and for the design process in the first place. You know, and that's something that I think was missing from Top Gear.
Yeah,
there were a lot of times when you just felt that the presenters just weren't in love with cars anymore. You know, when you drive when you spend week after week driving the fastest cars in the world,
it kind of loses its luster a bit.
Exactly. You know, you fall out of love with them.
Yeah. I mean, the great thing about this, because they do restore them and they do hope to make some money of them at auction, but it's not just about that. It's about giving this car back. It's about a car that was... that no one else could touch, no one else would touch, but then they bring it up and they give it back. And they basically save an historical piece of engineering. And Phil Glenster, he's so much more relatable to the likes of Jeremy Clarkson.
I agree with you on that.
When he talks about driving your dream car and how it makes
you... He's a lot more affable, isn't he? And the thing is, you're not afraid... He's the kind of guy who, if you ran into him in the street, you wouldn't be afraid to stop him and have a chat with him.
No, exactly, yeah.
You know, with Clarkson, you'd be a bit standoffish because you'd be like, oh, he's going to shout at me if I say hello. But with him, you just kind of, you get the feeling that he's very approachable. You know the guy who does Flog It? On BBC Two? You know the guy who does Flog It? I've forgotten his name.
Oh, yeah. He's
got the floppy hair and he's like, every kind of middle-aged woman in the UK is in love with him.
Yeah, it looks a bit like a King Charles Spaniel.
Yeah, he looks a bit like King Charles Spaniel, but he's very charming and very affable and very polite in the same way that Kevin MacLeod is, but, you know, he's, you know, more to the ladies' tastes, I should say, because of the, you know, the floppy hair and the face and everything like that. So, he's... Where was I going with this? How do I get onto this?
I don't know.
We just got lost.
I think it's more like relatability.
He's another one who is like, what's his face from For the Love of Cars?
Phil Glenister.
Yeah, Phil Glenister from The Love of Cars. I think TV needs more presenters like them. Because they're that kind of heart and soul of those shows. Yeah. If you take them out of the show, that's it, gone. You could take Clarkson out of Top Gear and... You just get put in replacing with someone else.
Yeah.
Best example of that was Jonathan Ross.
Oh, right.
BBC lost Jonathan Ross and instead got, I've forgotten his name, to do the Friday night show.
Graham Norton.
Graham Norton. Hmm. Graham Norton is actually better than Jonathan Ross by a long way.
Oh, yeah.
He's a really
good presenter.
You know, Graham Norton has basically cornered the Friday night chat show market.
Oh, yeah.
There's nobody who can actually touch him.
No.
You know, even his numbers are actually superior to Jonathan Ross's numbers.
Yeah.
And you just kind of, and it just shows you how easy it is. Because everybody was saying, oh, you can't replace Jonathan Ross, you can't replace Jonathan Ross.
No.
Then they replaced him with somebody who is actually better than Jonathan Ross. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it all comes down to personality.
Exactly, yeah.
So there is hope for the future.
Aye. I mean, like, if Phil Glenister Phil Glenister and Anstead, for that matter, his co-host, were to announce that they were going to do Top Gear, I would fully support it and I would watch it every week.
Yeah.
They are both fantastic co-hosts.
Okay, right. We are fast coming up to the end of the show, so just enough time for me to do mine. And I'm going to go with The Big Bang Theory, right? I know the thing is, I actually agree with Andrew's long-suffering sigh. I'm actually beginning to question why I'm still watching that show. In fact, I started questioning why I was still watching the show quite a few shows ago. I think it's more out of morbid curiosity as to how the relationships are going to end up. but the jokes just they feel flat. They don't feel like they're putting in the same amount of effort. You know, when Friends was starting to come to an end. You know, I think The Big Bang Theory has reached that point in time where...
Because I think we went past that point a long time ago.
I think we went past that point when all of them except Raj had a girlfriend. Yeah. I think the only characters who are actually keeping it interesting at the moment are Raj and his dog, and the ongoing love triangle between Raj, his girlfriend, and his dog. That's one of the few areas where it actually becomes entertaining, because there was a show where Howard was going around, you know, he had this quiz. He was like, you know, Emily or Cinnamon, and basically giving out quotes that Raj has said, and people have to guess whether he said them to his dog or to his girlfriend. And, you know, it was amusing because some of the quotes, you're like, yeah, you don't say that to a dog. And then it turns out he did say that to a dog. So, you know, that it had that, you know, that that cute element, but also that kind of that fun, that humorous element. But these days it's just kind of, yeah, Howard's always going on about how we went to space and Sheldon is Sheldon and, you know,
Leonard still doesn't know how he's with Penny.
Yeah, Leonard's still questioning that and still getting his knickers in a twist over the fact that...
That's probably the thing I hate the most about it, because, like, he's a successful physicist and she's a failed actress and waitress.
Who now earns twice what he does in pharmaceutical sales.
Oh, that's a kick in the teeth. That? It's
ridiculous. She should be the one, like, asking everything, how did I end up with such a nice guy? But it's not because he's a nerd.
I'll be honest. They have done that from time to time. They have had that in. It's one thing that I'll say about the show, that where it's superior to something like Friends, in that the characters do have their own forms of introspection. They do question how they ended up in these relationships. Yeah. And Penny does wonder from time
Sheldon.
To time.
Aye.
Even Sheldon does.
Even Sheldon.
The thing is, they've had the relationship between Sheldon and Amy Farrah Fowler progressing, you know, at a pace. But, you know, I still refer back to Amy saying that her and Sheldon were going to get married in exactly 4 years, but not to tell him because he's still a flight risk. You know,
I remember that.
Amy is the other character who keeps things interesting, because she just throws things out there. You know, her character just throws these one-liners out there. And you just kind of... it's like when there was a line on one of the shows. It was a repeat episode I watched recently where... it was the one where they're all playing games. Howard's just come back from space. And she's talking about, you know, we can go to the UCLA cadaver lab and play a real-life operation. You know, the nose doesn't light off, but if the corpse is fresh enough, you can get sometimes get the leg to kick. It's just like... That's, like, really disturbing, hilarious at the same time.
Actually funny.
It is. You'd hardly believe she's an actual scientist in real life.
No, she is an actual neuroscientist as well.
You wouldn't believe
it's what's her face. And the thing is, because she used to play Blossom on TV. You remember Blossom? You guys don't remember Blossom?
The only Blossom I know is, like, one of the Powerpuff
Girls. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Not that Blossom. She used to play TV. She used to be the star of a TV show called Blossom. I'll Google it for you, so you'll know it when you see it.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Mayim Bialik used to play the role of Blossom on that TV show. We've just had a bloody hell from the background. You didn't know? Yeah, she's also, you know, a full-fledged neuroscientist. Yep. So when she came into the role as a neuroscientist, she's like, wow, acting and neuroscience. I'm basically onto a winner here.
it does help Chuck Lorre that writes The Big Bang Theory. Because he could write something and she could actually kind of say, yep, that's correct. That's in terms of her character.
I think I heard somewhere, didn't you originally, like, come onto the show like as a consultant?
She was actually brought onto the I think she was brought onto the show as a consultant for a character they were looking to develop, and then, you know, when she found out as a neuroscientist, she said, you know, all of a sudden everyone suddenly went, you know, to quote Gru from Despicable Me, light bulb. all of a sudden it's just like every light bulb went off and everyone said, hang on, we're writing a character about a who's a neuroscientist. We need somebody who we need an actress who can play the role of a neuroscientist but understands comedy acting.
And
she's right here.
She is an actress and she's a neuroscientist. How did we not consider this before?
Well, Blossom was a comedy show.
That's true. Everything in this one package.
I think if I had to choose a favourite character from The Big Bang Theory at the moment, it would have to be Amy, just because she is just she's as mad as a hatter. I mean, she's in a relationship with Sheldon, but there's those vague suggestions about her fancying Penny a bit too much. It's like, you know, with the giant painting.
Yes,
you know,
originally
they were painted naked, but she thought it was going to be going to be too much of a test of their heterosexuality.
Yeah,
if she changed her mind, all they'd need is was some warm soapy water and a couple of sponges.
Yeah,
they're like, what?
That was really weird, but at the same time, it was one of the funniest episodes I can remember.
Yes, the giant man face Penny.
Oh, yes.
See, I feel like I would like the show if, like, it did more jokes like that.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think they've reached a point where they're trying to mature the characters, and it's just not fitting, because the characters themselves, when you're talking about the girls, you can see them, you know, maturing. I like the fact that that Bernadette is basically a tiny little bully. You know, I like that. That works for her character. Yeah. I like Amy as a character, and she is my favorite character out of all of them. Penny, the maturation process with Penny it makes more sense with Penny.
Mm.
But with Leonard and Howard and Raj and Sheldon, they are just basically boys. They are basically, 12-year-old boys in the bodies of men, and that is basically, for them to mature and start thinking of bills and children and stuff like that, it's not supposed to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen this quickly.
The whole point of the characters.
I think, you have to have a change, don't you, with American sitcoms to go on for, well, the season is the year, isn't it? You have 20 episodes of the season going on for years and years and years, so you have to mature the characters. You have to change something.
Sheldon, I can understand, there's something, part of his brain, the logical part of his brain that tells him that these things are actually important. He's getting a wedgie from the other part of his brain that goes, I don't care. But with the rest of them, Howard, I liked Howard when he was basically, I liked Howard as a character when he was willing to dress up in that loud shirt and the tight pants with the eye patch and go out and pretend to be,
He kind of lost something when he started going out with Bernadette.
When he married Bernadette, going out with her, married her. Raj, I think Raj's relationship with Emily is going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because she's a bit twisted.
She is.
She keeps cracking jokes about killing people and stuff like that. So
I think the actress they got to play her, I think is superb for that role as well.
I think she fits. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, Raj is responsible for one of my absolute favorite lines from the series, which I think also shows a lot about maturity. So obviously, the thing about Sheldon Cooper having a girlfriend was a big thing for that series.
Raj will forever be the man who got a girlfriend after Sheldon Cooper.
It's one of my favourite lines of the entire franchise.
Yeah, I remember that one. I think second favourite character would have to be Raj when he's in his I don't know what I'm saying mode.
Yeah.
When he's talking about, how he came to America and he was lonely. There was this hole in his life, but then he met Howard and then they could fill each other's holes. He's just like,
the way Howard looks, the way Howard's face is like, how do you not know what you're saying?
No, Stuart does it better. He's like, you should really listen to yourself when you're talking.
That is so true.
Anyway, Big Bang Theory, I think it's losing something. I think it's actually lost something. I think that it's mainly just an exercise in keeping things ticking over and ending the series in a way that people will remember now. I think that what they're doing is just sustaining it until that point. Mm. I think the time for it is coming to an end. Probably, maybe not this season, because there's only a few episodes left in the series. But I think next series is the one where they really need to start looking at winding things down and closing stories off.
I mean, to be fair to it, though, like, regardless...
It's had a good run.
Yeah, plus, yeah, that's what I mean. Regardless of quality, there's, of course, going to come a point when just you're out of ideas.
Yeah, it's had a brilliant run. Don't get me wrong, but I think... and it's given us the word bazinga, which, you know...
That is true.
Which everybody knows. So I think, yes, I think next series is when it needs to start looking at winding down.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's me done about Big Bang.
Okay.
I think that might wrap up the show then, won't it? Next week we talk about Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And the last leg, I think.
Yeah, the last leg. And whatever else we've been watching
and
next
not
week.
A single Cornetto will be mentioned.
Yes. No. No Cornettos.
Just the box of six.
No.
we'll think
no Cornettos. You're already suffering brain freeze from too many Cornettos in your life.
we'll think of a different ice cream for next show.
Yes. So, yes. Anyway, we have been on the box.
Yes.
I have been Owen.
And I've been Andy.
And I've been Andrew.
And I've been Rob. We'll see you all next week. Maybe with a new cast. We're not sure. Just one Cornetto.